Okay, today we've got another on.NET show for you. We're talking with Bill Wagner about the Humanitarian Toolkit, and we're going to learn about what happens if a hurricane visits your city. What should you do? Watch the show and you'll find out. Hey, welcome to another episode of the on.NET show. Today we're going to be talking about the Humanitarian Toolkit, and we're going to be talking with Bill Wagner, who's one of the co-founders of the project. Hey, Bill.
Hi there, Rich. How are you doing today?
Good. It's been a while. It's only been last week since Ignite that we talked to one another.
Yeah, it was great fun.
Yeah, so how about you quickly introduce yourself, and then we'll start talking about the toolkit.
Okay, so I'm Bill Wagner with Humanitarian Toolbox. I'm one of the co-founders. At the time we founded it, I was original director and MVP, and along with Tony Surma, who was, at the time ran Microsoft Disaster Relief, and Richard Campbell, who is one of our other RDs. People probably know him from .NET Rocks.
Yeah.
And Pascal Schubach, who was with the University of Washington Disaster Coordinator, and Mari Sessions, who had worked a lot in marketing with Microsoft and helped us get a lot of the organizational things. We put this organization together. The idea behind it is we wanted to bring together developers to build sustainable, repeatable software that we would maintain and extend for NGOs to support disaster relief efforts, either preparedness or response.
Makes sense. Now, tell us, like, what kind of events or, you know, are we talking about hurricanes and earthquakes?
Right. So a lot of this, what we're trying to do, the eventual goal, if you think of the name of the Humanitarian Toolbox, is that we will have a suite of applications, all of which are hopefully fairly small, for any different kind of natural event, whether that be a hurricane, an earthquake, blizzards that knock out power and have people stranded in cold, any kind of windstorms, whatever also that knocks out power, tornadoes, which are real interesting because they're very localized.
Right.
Earthquakes and so on, fires, what have you, so that we have a set of packages that can be tailored but have a lot of commonality for any of those different kinds of events.
Okay, so can you tell us about a specific situation where this software has been used?
Okay, so one of the very recent ones we had is we have recently inherited an open source application that was written by Paul DiCarlo's team in Houston. Last year with the Hurricane Harvey, they wrote a bot using Azure services for the bot framework and for cognitive services so that citizens there could ask the bot questions and it would direct them to things like the nearest shelter that had water or had medical supplies, and be able to help people try to navigate through that disaster, you know, as it happened and over the next several months as it was being cleaned up.
Makes sense.
And now,
go ahead.
And now what we're doing with it, you know, that was written immediately after Harvey. So a lot of things, you know, for our audience and software developers, a lot of things were hard coded. You know, it was loaded from an Excel spreadsheet with here's the information people on the ground had, you know, and someone on the development team uploaded the new data anytime something changed. So what we want to add to that now is an administrative interface so that the coordinators have a way that they can update information as it happens so that the bot can respond appropriately. The other thing that the bot's missing that we want to add is it's not localized. Right now, English is the only language. Different places around the United States and different places in the world, other languages are going to be appropriate. And we want the bot to respond in whatever language someone texts to it.
That definitely makes sense. So I think we all know Hurricane Harvey was a very big deal.
Yeah.
Super serious event. Can you tell us, you know, how important was your bot in that situation? Like, mm-hmm. Do you have any either quantitative or qualitative data about how it was used and how it helped?
You know, quantitative data, I'd have to get that from Paul. What we did get in response from him was that there were numerous people responded to it, and it did do a lot to help people find shelter. We're also going to gather more data in a more structured manner, in that this fall and winter, there's going to be a test running through the Northeast Division with things that they learned from Hurricane Sandy. So they're going to be simulating a disaster and simulating the response teams so we can try the bot out and any of the enhancements that we've made, you know, in a safe, more or less lab exercise environment. And we'll be gathering data from that to see the what kind of response we do get.
Right. And obviously, between now and then, there could be another natural disaster, too.
Of course. Of course. And then we'd probably try to do something really quick to make it generalized for that.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about the software itself? So is it a .NET project?
Right. This one is a .NET project. And again, it leverages Azure Cognitive Services, Azure Bot Framework to be able to do the bot interface. This one is still fairly new. It's really primarily what was written in direct response to Harvey. So I want to kind of talk about a couple of the other ones that we work on as well,
okay.
Which are a little bit more mature. Already is one of the applications that we have that was built working with the Chicago Red Cross as a preparedness application. So what that does is what the Red Cross wanted to do and what it was built for and then generalized is the Red Cross more or less knows that by getting smoke detectors in people's homes and making sure they're working correctly, that saves lives. Fire departments get there faster, there's less loss of life, both for the people in the building with the fire and for the firefighters and other response teams. There's also less loss of property as well. So what Already did is set up a campaign with the Red Cross to take, I think it was 3 zip codes in Chicago, and ensure every residence was met with a volunteer to see if they had a smoke detector, and if not, to get one installed for them. And if they had one, then to make sure it was working well, you know, maybe it needed batteries changed, you know, maybe it was an elderly person who didn't want to get on a ladder and go up to the ceiling and that kind of thing, and make sure that everything was working. And now they're currently using that to track over the next year what is the real impact in terms of lives saved, and then try to keep rolling that out into larger geographic areas.
I see. So they're kind of doing like a case control type of study with this.
Right. And then the idea now is the software isn't necessarily about smoke detectors, right? You can put in any kind of a task or any kind of a campaign, right? So we're looking for other charities that have other needs where they're trying to get people prepared for a disaster. So different areas that are hurricane prone in hurricane season, are people prepared for that event? Is your generator charged? Does your generator have gas? Is it new gas? Do you have the supplies you would need to board up the windows? Similarly, you know, tornadoes, do you know where your shelter is? Different places in the winter, do you have the supplies you would need if you lost power for a couple weeks? Right, so those kinds of things, and then trying to see if preparedness organizations in these other areas will want to make the same kind of investment.
Right. Now, do you have those kind of organizations actually talking to you? Like, what kind of relationship do you have with those, and do they actually ask for software features and kind of understand that they can make their organization work better through software?
We do that, and that's one of the keys we have to making our project successful. So two of our board members, I mentioned Tony Cerma, who was previously ran Microsoft Disaster Relief, and Pascal Schubach, who is works quite a bit with FEMA and other organizations. They put the rest of us in contact with disaster coordinators, people that run different offices in any of these NGOs, and help us define the requirements. And then we also have, you know, in Scrum parlance, a product owner to bounce ideas back off of if developers go, you know, maybe we could do this. And then we can bounce it back and, you know, they can say, yes, that really would help, or no, that's not how this really gets used. And that helps ensure that the developers that we get as volunteers, we respect their time and they're working on features that these organizations really need.
Makes sense. So can you tell us a little bit more about the software? You kind of said you use a bunch of Azure services.
Oh, sure. Already is ASP.NET Core, I think currently, I don't think we've updated to 2.1. I'm pretty sure we're on ASP.NET Core 2.0. It actually started as a project way back when on one of the very early betas. I think it was ASP.NET Core beta 2 or 3 was when we first wrote it. So primarily works that way. There is a web job that does some of the things to do some of the queuing as well as another Azure function. Makes use of the Bing's Maps API to check the geographic coverage of the preparedness application. Everything's written server-side is ASP.NET, Web API, and C#. The client side, I believe right now it's on React. I think we may have started with Angular, but I think we've migrated it off of that. So there's some a couple of pages that are kind of spa-like in there.
Makes sense. Well, you better move it to .NET Core 2.1 because, as you may know, .NET Core 2.0 actually just went out of support just this this week.
So that's another issue we have to write on that repo to get us to move those forward. And yeah, we've been really happy with the throughput we've gotten there, the performance, and the experience for a lot of developers. There was their first chance working with .NET Core, and did a really good job, and you know that's been a great experience for the volunteers.
Makes sense. So, any big plans for the toolbox going forward, or is it pretty much just like you know iterative, evolutionary type changes?
So already for features, it's more iterative and evolutionary at this point. It does a lot of the things that we need. The main things that we were looking for there is the Red Cross has been happy. And we want to expand that and show that it scales across a lot of different charities. So for any of the people that watch on.NET, if there's a local or a regional charity that could benefit from having software that helps run a preparedness campaign, reach out to us. Hit us on Twitter at htbox.org or I'm bill.wagner@htbox.org. And let's get in touch with the charity, figure out what they need. We'll stand up an instance on Azure, get them the admin accounts for their group, and start moving forward.
Now, you keep on using the term, you know, charity and NGO, and I know what those mean. NGO is a non-governmental organization. But you also talked about FEMA. Is it exclusively NGOs, or do you also work with, you know, state, federal, or municipal government?
We will work with them. We don't have an installation with them with any government entity at this time.
Okay, but if there's, you know, City of Redmond, kind of where we're located
Absolutely.
Right now, if they wanted to get something going, they could.
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's not, makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, so how about, you know, say I'm super interested in this. Is there a place that I would go look to find more information?
That there would be. I'm going to share my screen for a little bit and show you our GitHub repo, and then we'll...
Yeah, because this is all open source.
This is all open source, so everything is on GitHub. GitHub.com/htbox, because no one can spell humanitarian. This will list all our applications. The top three... Two of the top three are the ones we've already talked about. The third one is a Xamarin-based application that you should have Rocky Lotka on to discuss at length. The idea behind that one is it is a cell phone-based application, and on your cell phone, you would store the information about your children so that if they ever do go missing in some event, you have everything that the authorities would want to be able to find them as quickly as possible, you know, who their friends are, current age, current height, weight, recent pictures, and so on. So that's what that application does. And then Already and the Emergency Services Bot are the next two applications that we have. And with any of those, you know, switching over to the Emergency Services Bot, you know, we've got a list of issues that are identified that we want people to see if they want to help us. You know, we want to move up to the next version of the bot framework. The bot framework especially is pretty new. We don't have a lot of documentation on how it works or how to set it up. We can probably help with a lot of that. Right now, a lot of things in the basic website are geared toward Harvey. We can fix that and so on and so forth.
Right.
And
so these are kind of all up for grabs.
Everything is up for grabs. We really don't have anything that's taken. We'll add comments on them as anybody wants to work on them, and then we'll keep going from there.
Right, and I assume you don't need to be in the United States to participate, meaning not as a developer, but
right.
In terms of if I'm a non-governmental organization, you know, mm-hmm. operating in Japan, I assume I can participate and get an
Absolutely.
Instance.
Absolutely. Yeah. So developers can participate from anywhere. NGOs can participate from anywhere. Right now, we are only registered as a charity in the United States. But if we have interest, we're looking at registering in Canada and UK.
Okay, makes sense. Okay, well, I think we can go back to your pretty face.
Absolutely. Are you sure?
Yes.
I've been told code is always better. All right.
Yeah. Okay, well, this was great. Yeah, there we go. Okay. It looks like a ton of effort has been put into this, and clearly there's a huge need for, you know, software-based help for emergency disasters, and they're obviously very time sensitive when they happen.
Definitely. And our goal here is to have the software ready before it starts. And we've had tremendous support from the .NET community in many places all over the world. We've got several hundred committers at this point that we've gotten pull requests from, and super thrilled for that. A couple people that are going to be on Jeff Fritz's Twitch stream discussing already in the next month or so.
Very nice.
Steve Gordon and James Chambers. James is an MVP from Canada. Steve Gordon is an MVP from the UK. And they'll be walking through that application in a lot more detail and take about an hour to give everyone a tour of what's there.
Cool. Well, this is definitely the best use of .NET that I've seen in a while, really
Thank
helping
you.
People. So thanks for being on the show today. So again, this is Bill Wagner, and we were learning about the Humanitarian Toolbox. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. This has been another episode of On.NET.